Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I want to welcome you to this evening's program of Radically Right. This is April 21st, 2007. Tonight's program is going to be centered around the deplorable conditions that our boys suffer at the hands of our own government when they go into the military and are captured by the enemy. As always, I'd like to start off each week's program with a prayer for those who are taking a stand against this new world order. And I would ask, please don't just listen to me pray, but add your voice so that a multitude is praying together. Dear Yahweh, God of good, creator of all the universe, God of Abraham and his sons, Ishmael and Isaac, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings. We ask that you shelter us from the forces of evil, bless our minds with discernment, and our voices with your word. Guide our steps that we may follow your way. Cause the New World Order to fail and its conspirators to be exposed and defeated. Give us courage, health, determination, and material resources. Keep us in the hollow of your hand, shrouded in your Holy Spirit. For we pray in the name of your only begotten Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you can reach us in a couple of different ways. One is through republicbroadcasting.org. There's a wealth of information on this internet site. There's the archive programs, books, banner sponsors that we need to support. You get the program on shortwave 5.050 or over the satellite at Galaxy 1R Transponder 17, narrowband 7.92 horizontal polarity. Or on 4D TV, that's Galaxy 1, channel 954. Or KU Galaxy 25, transponder 11836, with symbol rate of 20770. It's hard to fathom, but the truth is that our government politicians are responsible for abandoning American soldiers at the end of each war, going all the way back to World War I. When a young man is conscripted or volunteers military service to fight for his country, should not be abandoned. That is what happens in far too many instances. And if he doesn't make it back with injuries, his treatment at the VA hospitals are nearly as deplorable. With increasing frequency, Americans are wearing shirts and flying flags that point to the cause of the POWs and MIAs left behind. This occurs despite the official government statement that all have been accounted for. Officially. People display the POW MIA silhouette of a solitary head hung in anguish to show that they've not bought that lie. The politicians responsible for covering up this heinous crime of leaving American boys in the hostile hands should all be tried and suffer the official penalty for treason when they're found guilty. What was once classified national security has come to the surface thanks to Senator Jesse Helms, who was the ranking member of the minority of the U.S. Senate Committee on Foreign Relations. And on May 23rd of 1991, the Senate published a booklet that was entitled An Examination of U.S. Policy Towards POWs, MIAs. And we're going to dig into that and cover a synopsis of what really went on. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I've found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Utah. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 44-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you're concerned about burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $20 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
That was published by the Senate in 1991, entitled An Examination of U.S. Policy Towards POWs/MIAs. It's quite revealing. The synopsis reveals callously our sons were abandoned to a lifetime of slavery under abject cruelty. The integrity of the media that found the story so unnewsworthy really should be questioned. And to encourage further explanation, or exploration, a summary follows. And according to Senator Helms' cover letter, investigation into the agencies of the U.S. government responsible for POW/MIAs led to some very disturbing conclusions. Hundreds of documents and issues with POW/MIA families and friends led the minority staff of the Senate Committee on Foreign Affairs to declare that despite public pronouncements to the contrary, the real internal policy of the U.S. government was to act on the presumption that all MIAs were dead. As a result, the senator's staff found that any evidence which suggested an MIA might be alive was uniformly and arbitrarily rejected. Now, this gets to rationalization. When you refuse to look at facts that disagree with theories, you are rationalizing. Facts do not have to conform to theories. Theories must conform to facts. All efforts were directed towards finding and identifying remains of dead personnel, even though the U.S. government's techniques of identification were inadequate and deeply flawed. Now, this disdain for government is shared by Colonel Millard A. Peck, who resigned as chief of the Special Office for Prisoners of War and Missing in Action. And it was Colonel Peck that had accepted the position with hopes of vindicating the government of rumors that our sons were abandoned. Instead, he resigned in disgust and confirmed that a cover-up had been in progress. He referred to it as a mindset to debunk and said that any soldier left behind was, in fact, abandoned years ago. Senator Helms' minority report scorned the policy that persisted in saying there is no evidence of POWs or MIAs in Vietnam. All should be presumed dead, and evidence contrary should be discredited and dismissed. Now, this notion of dismissing all hope of finding any POWs is uncannily similar to the pattern followed in earlier wars of the century. The negotiating techniques of the adversary in Vietnam, a denial that POWs exist, a demand for diplomatic recognition, and financial aid from the United States, a suggestion that POW MIAs might be found if recognition and money forthcoming. All of these have been seen before. They had emerged in U.S. dealings with communist regimes in 1917. As a result, it was necessary for Senator Helms to broaden the scope of investigation to study the historical background. The study that followed is based on an examination of hundreds of once-secret cables, instructions, and memoranda now in the National Archives and the files of appropriate agencies. Now, the study began with a largely forgotten page of American history. The U.S. Expeditionary Force in Siberia in 1917 through 1919. The sudden rise of the Bolshevik regime, the creation of the Red Army, and the perceived threat to Allied armies and territory in Eastern Europe led to some pretty furious fighting near Murmansk. Thousands of Allied soldiers were captured by the Red Army in an attempt to secure their release in the face of the entrenching deception of Bolshevik diplomacy faded as the U.S. government lost interest. A series of parallel events occurred after World War II. The USSR government of Joseph Stalin seized control of hundreds of prisoners of war, including Americans. Millions of displaced persons were caught in Nazi prison camps as the Red Army moved into Eastern Europe. The secret cables of Ambassador Harriman and the classified accounting provided General Eisenhower made it clear Stalin refused to count for either POWs or civilians once he fell under communist control. While at the same time, Stalin demanded that Russian or Eastern European prisoners liberated by the West be forcibly returned to the Soviet Union. Korean War is closer to present memories, yet documents from that period also suggested abandonment of American prisoners and a disinclination by the United States to follow up on their disappearance. Finally, the fate of POWs of the Vietnam War may be tied to the diplomatic history of the Paris Peace Accords of 1973. Now, some may agree, as Colonel Peck indicated, the real abandonment of the American POW-MIAs took place at the Paris Peace Conference. The present POW-MIA policies of the U.S. government are merely an implementation of flawed decisions taken at that time. The fact is the Soviet and Asian communist regime view the POW-MIAs as leverage for political bargaining, as an involuntary source of technical assistance and forced labor. There is, therefore, no compelling reason in communist logic to return POWs so long as political and economic goals have not been met yet. And the logic of the Vietnamese manipulate and to dole out actual information grudgingly, piece by piece, that always, in return for very practical consideration. Now, this perverse thinking is shocking to Americans who are more straightforward and honest in their interpersonal dealings. Indeed, the policy began with Lenin. From the time of the Bolshevik treatment of POWs from the American Expeditionary Forces in World War I to the Soviet treatment of POWs in World War II to the North Korean actions in the Korean War, and finally in the First and Second Indochina Wars, POWs, including MIAs, were used by communist regimes as cynical bargaining tools in contravention to international law. In 1973, the communist Vietnamese used POWs to blackmail the U.S. into providing them with billions of dollars in reparations. Both the Vietnamese and the U.S. government asserted Operation Homecoming brought home all prisoners. The Vietnamese believed that they had a deal, albeit a dirty one, in which prisoners were to be exchanged for cold cash. It was a deal that was brokered by Secretary of State Henry Kissinger. Via secret hand-carried letters. Now, it would be perfectly consistent with the historical communist policy to hold back against their will even the remains of the dead to exchange for dollars at a later date. The evidence of this investigation must be weighed against the probabilities of that historical background. Now, most of this information is not well known by the American public. However, all of it is based on open source material, including U.S., official U.S. government documents that have been declassified and collected from official agencies through the Freedom of Information Act requests and research from the National Archives, Washington, D.C. U.S. problems in accounting for POW MIAs did not suddenly emerge in the Second Indochina War. In fact, the basic communist tactics were already evident at the birth of the Soviet Union and the Bolshevik Revolution. Today, most Americans have forgotten that there were two main fronts during World War I. The Western Front, the center of Allied tension, which today still receives the most focus, and an Eastern Front, which occurred when the Bolshevik regime signed a treaty with Germans and withdrew Russian forces from participation with the Allies. The Allies grew apprehensive about the German threat to the ports of Murmansk and Arctic. The Allied expeditionary forces to Siberia to protect the rear. As a result of the fighting against the Soviet Bolshevik forces around Archangel in 1918 and 19, there were many casualties and eyewitness accounts of hundreds of U.S. and British and French personnel who just disappeared. The official cables from the U.S. military attaché at Archangel cited much lower numbers than the eyewitness reports of missing personnel. The U.S. government policy concerning these and others in the two categories of missing in action, MIA, and killed in action, body not covered. We're going to get into this more right after this break. Please stay tuned. This is Radically Right with Jack Otto. We are going to take a bite out of the New World Order.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-222. 3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt well products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt well products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
About the POWs that were left behind after World War One, in a 1930 memorandum from the U.S. Acting Assistant Chief of Staff of G2 about the alleged confinement of American officers and soldiers in Russian prison, and he stated the following, and I quote, "An administrative determination has been placed on each of their records that they were killed in action on the date they were reported as missing." Let me cover that again. An administrative determination has been placed on each of their records that they were killed in action on the date they were reported missing. On April 18th of 1921, the New York Times reported, quote, "The American prisoners held by the Soviet government in Russia have been told by the Bolsheviks that they are being held because the United States government has not made vigorous demands for their release." It was widely known that the Bolsheviks held many American POWs and other U.S. citizens against their will. In fact, the new Soviet government attempted to barter U.S. POWs held in their prison for U.S. diplomatic recognition and trade relations. And the United States refused, even though the Soviets had at one time threatened that, quote, "Americans held by the Soviet government would be put to death," end of quote. In response to the Soviets' demand for recognition and trade relations with the for the return of the U.S. prisoners, President Harding's Secretary of State, Charles Evan Hughes, said, "The United States will not consider any suggestions of any character from that country, that government, until the Americans now held as prisoners are permitted to leave the country." And according to Herbert Hoover, in his book, An American Epic, Volume 3, page 427 through 433, it says, "Several months later, the United States concluded the Riga Agreement with the Soviet government to provide humanitarian aid to starving Russian children. The Riga Agreement had specific requirements that the Soviet authorities release all Americans detained in Russia to facilitate their departure. The agreement was expecting 20 prisoners to be released, but U.S. authorities were surprised when exactly 100 Americans were released. In fact, not all American prisoners held by the Soviets were released. The Soviets held some back, presumably for leverage in any future negotiations with the United States. However, in 1933, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt recognized the Soviet government, these prisoners were not released. And other than the apparent recovery of 19 sets of remains, no satisfactory accounting of POW MIAs held by the Soviets was made in the United States. Now, as noted earlier, an administrative determination had been placed on each of their records that they were killed in action on the day they were reported missing. As far as the United States government was concerned, these men were legally dead. Other than a small number of U.S. government officials with access to the intelligence and knew otherwise, these men were generally considered to be no longer alive. One such intelligence document, dated November 20th, 1930, cites an affidavit taken by the U.S. Justice Department of Alexander Gruba, a Latvian-American who was identified as a Russian seaman. He had been imprisoned in the Soviet Gulag in the infamous Lubyanka prison, where he states he saw four American Army officers and 15 American soldiers and civilians. Group further warned that the U.S. government that any inquiry made to Soviet officials of specific individuals would result in their immediate execution. He was later transferred to Solovets Island prison, where there were many Americans. We must remember that the same false Jews from Khazaria are behind the communist movement just as they run America now. And their inclination is satanic. Satanists have no integrity. Refugees fleeing from Russia into Europe during the late 1920s continued to report that a number of Americans were still held by the Soviet government in forced labor camps. World War II was a decisive victory for the United States forces. The enemy unconditionally surrendered in both the European and Pacific theaters. Despite the victory, thousands and thousands of U.S. soldiers were never repatriated from prisoner of war camps, prisons and forced labor and concentration camps. These American soldiers were being held in Nazi prison camps along with other Allied POWs and Nazi captives when they were overrun by the Red Army. We're going to talk about right after this break. Please stay tuned. Right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fiercely seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriot Americans need to know to combat the coming police being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you, and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel or Jeff Bennett help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. Nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Army overran the Nazi concentration camps, the POW camps, and they came into Allied POWs and other Nazi captives. Literally, hundreds of thousands of Allied POWs who had been held by the Nazis, as well as millions of Western European citizens or displaced persons, came under Red Army control. This number increased because General Dwight D. Eisenhower, the supreme Allied commander in Europe, decided to stop the U.S. and British drive eastward into Germany in order to wait for the Soviet forces driving west so that the U.S. and Soviet forces could meet in Berlin. Now, Dwight D. Eisenhower's West Point yearbook refers to him as a Swedish Jew and affectionately called him Ike the Cuck. That's what his yearbook said. Now, we find from Congressman Carol Reese of Tennessee, who stated in the House of Representatives, according to the Congressional Record on page A1564 to A1568, we could have easily gotten to Berlin first, but our troops were first halted at the Elbe River. They were then withdrawn from that river in a wide circle, far enough westward to make Stalin a present of the great Zeiss optical and precision instrument works in Jena. The most important V-1 and V-2 rocket laboratory and production plant in Nordhausen, and the vital underground jet plant in Kala. Everywhere we surrendered intact to the Soviets thousands of German planes, including great masses of jet fighters ready for assembly, as well as research centers, rocket development, scientific personnel, and other military treasures. When Major Vasily Vershenko, a Soviet tank commander that overran Stalag 4B, spoke to Martin Siegel, U.S. GI and POW, he was asked immediately when the Americans would be retreated. Major Vershenko said he was primarily concerned with the Russian prisoners held in a separate compound at Stalag 4B, who may have been cowards, traitors, and deserters. With regard to the repatriation of U.S. and Allied POWs now under Red Army control, the major said, and he stated, quote, "The Russians and Americans have agreed to a pact wherein the Russians would receive credit for each POW return. The division of U.S. POWs was a complex political matter. Well, Martin Siegel became concerned and escaped with a friend, a Corporal William Smith of the 9th Division, and their findings were identical to the convictions of U.S. Major General R.W. Barker, the Allied chief negotiator for the repatriation of Allied POWs under Red Army control. In a report to the chief of staff of the Supreme Allied Headquarters, Barker wrote that after more than 4 hours of discussion with his Red Army counterparts, the SHEF, that's the Supreme Headquarters of Allied European Forces, representative came to the firm conviction that British and American prisoners of war were in effect being held hostage by the Russians until deemed expedient by them to permit their release. And this latter point was further borne out by subsequent events. The Major Fruzhenko comment about economic credits were not wholly inaccurate. Weeks before VE, that's victory in Europe, Soviets requested a $6 billion credit line from the United States. That'd be equivalent to about $200 billion in today's dollars. And credits from the United States were, in fact, an active Soviet consideration. Throughout the repatriation period, indeed, the Secretary of State, prior to a mid-April 1945 meeting with his Soviet counterpart, Commissar Molotov, received a pre-meeting briefing memorandum, one of the points of which was the Soviet request for $6 billion. The Soviet rationale for not repatriating Allied soldiers and citizens, however, was motivated by a more complex and more repugnant reason than credits alone. In the memoirs of former Secretary of State under President Truman, James F. Burns, there appears to be a telling conversation the Secretary had with Molotov, the Soviet Commissioner of Foreign Affairs. And in September of 1945, several weeks after Japan's surrender, Burns recounted that while in London, Mr. Molotov had come to see me on instructions from Moscow, and he wanted to complain of the way in which the surrender terms with Japan were being carried out. He complained particularly about the way the Japanese army was being demobilized. It was dangerous, he said, merely to disarm the Japanese and send them home. They should be held as prisoners of war. They should do what the Red Army was doing with the Japanese, that it had taken to Manchuria. Make them work. No one can say accurately how many Japanese prisoners have been taken to the Soviet Union. In mid-1947, the best guess was that approximately 500,000 Japanese were still there. The problem of counting for POW MIAs was complicated by the Soviets were just as uncooperative in the repatriation of millions of displaced citizens. In Europe, as well as in the Far East, the Soviets guarded a sea of prisoners viewed as human capital and slave labor. These prisoners were not only Allied and Axis POWs, which also millions of displaced Western European citizens, as well as Eastern Europeans, who desperately wanted to flee from the Red Army-occupied territory. Now, nationalities of smaller countries like France, tragically, had military, political, or diplomatic leverage with the Soviet government to secure the reparation of their citizens at the end of the war. As a result, tens of thousands of Dutch and Belgians and hundreds of thousands of French were never repatriated by the Soviets. The French in particular bore the brunt of the Soviet make-them-work policy among the Allies. The Japanese and Germans fared far worse. In May of 8 of 1945, General Eisenhower sent a cable to the Soviets asking for an explanation for the slow pace of repatriation of these citizens. More than 2 weeks later, Eisenhower was sent another cable to the U.S. military mission in Moscow with a more detailed number of discrepancies. Again, Eisenhower requested a detailed Soviet response to his concerns over the unrepatriated prisoners of war and other Allied citizens in Red Army-occupied territory. The Soviets held more than a million, more Western Europeans than they were willing to admit. This caused the Dutch and French governments considerable anxiety, despite false Russian assurances that all had been settled. A U.S. intelligence report from OSS CIG files dated in April through May of 1945 may provide some insight into the fate of prisoners. A Polish informant who was forced to serve in the German army was taken prisoner by the Russians in 1944. And he was kept for a time in the transit camp in Kaunas, then Minsk, until he was deported across Siberia to the Zavetskaya camp near Vladivostok. And at the end of April 1945, he escaped and tried to get to Europe. He was, however, arrested by the NKVD just beyond Moscow and placed in the POW and internee camp at Tambov, which was occupied by Germans, French, Americans, British, Dutch, and Belgians. The prisoners numbered, in the informant's estimation, well over 3,000. They were both military and civilian, mostly likely overrun by the Russians during the offensive. All prisoners were forced to work, and the food they were given was very bad and monotonous. They were housed not in huts, but in dugouts. The monotonous food caused some strange disease which made the legs and arms swell, and after a time, men afflicted with this disease died. The informant was told that 23,000 Italians, more than 2,500 Romanian and Hungarian prisoners, had died in this manner. There were also many casualties among the Poles and other nationalities. Prisoners in this camp included men of high culture and learning and great expertise in many fields of science. Informant observed that German engineers were employed on a special task, the drawing up of blueprints for a four-engine aircraft capable of carrying about 500 men and achieve a speed, it was alleged, of 1,000 kilometers per hour. The Russians were extremely interested in these blueprints, and the men working on the invention were granted all possible facilities, both in work and conditions of life, within the camp. Less than a month after the signing of the Yalta Agreement, Ambassador W. Averill cabled the following urgent, top-secret message from Moscow to President Roosevelt. Quote, "Since the Yalta Conference, General Dean and I have been making constant efforts to get the Soviets to carry out this agreement in full. We've been baffled by promises which have not been fulfilled. I am outraged that the Soviet government has declined to carry out the agreement signed in Yalta in its other respects, namely that our contact officers be permitted to go immediately to points where our prisoners are first collected to evaluate our prisoners, particularly the sick, in our own airplane, or to send our supplies to points other than Odessa, which is 1,000 miles from the point of liberation where they are urgently needed. For the past 10 days, the Soviets have made the same statement that Stalin has made up to you, FDR, namely, that all prisoners are in Odessa or entrained thereto, whereas I have now positive proof that this was not, true on February 26th, the date on which the statement was first made. This my belief that Stalin's statement to you is inaccurate. There appear to be hundreds of our prisoners wandering about Poland trying to locate American contact officers for protection. I'm told that our men don't like the idea of getting into a Russian camp. The Polish people and the Polish Red Cross are being extremely hospitable, whereas food and living conditions in Russian camps are poor. In addition, we have reports that there are a number of sick or wounded who are too ill to move. These Stalin does not mention in his cable. Only a small percentage of those reported sick or wounded arrive at Odessa. Odessa was a Black Sea port in the Ukraine, through which some 2,900 U.S. soldiers were processed and repatriated. It is the only camp in the entire Soviet-occupied zone in Europe which U.S. contact personnel were allowed. 6 days later, Ambassador Harriman sent another cable to Washington, this time to Secretary of State R. Stettinus Jr. It described the Soviet violations of the Yalta Agreement. Only one doctor team had been allowed to aid U.S. prisoners who were suffering serious hardships from lack of food, clothing, and medical attention. Ambassador Harriman urged that the Soviets be restricted in their movement on Allied soil until they lived up to their part of the Yalta Agreement. That recommendation was never followed. Our leaders on both sides of the fence are among the false Jews from Khazaria. They refer to themselves as the Ashkenazi. And even though the Soviets entered the war against Japan only 6 days before they surrendered, the Soviets were in on the spoils as though they had carried them. Since part of China known as Manchuria was conquered by the Japanese, the Soviets claimed it was a portion of Greater Japan. And most people would say they were not Japanese territory, but hostages that should have been set free. The Soviets also got control of some of the northern islands of Japan, and with the acquisition came some Japanese prison camps holding Allied prisoners. In 1945, during the closing days of the war with Japan, U.S. military intelligence said, quote, Mercy Team, end quote, were sent to China and Manchuria to arrange for the well-being of the Allied POWs in Japanese camp. And generally, Japanese troop commanders cooperated with the Mercy Teams, but the Soviets, as in Europe, and Chinese communists denied Mercy Teams access to certain areas under their control. And aside about the communist Chinese, that they too are false Jews in the upper echelon. Mao and his chieftains are of the Tao Kaio Kaio, another branch of the Khazar Jews. The Soviets even sent a delegation to Hanoi to forcibly repatriate any French Foreign Legion POWs in custody of the Japanese or who were identified as citizens. Soviet Union. All were surrendered by the Allies to the Soviets. We've got a break coming up. Please stay tuned. We're going to be right back. Listen to our sponsors. Be ready to support them.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific. And
healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it. I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3333. 3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free 866-222-3017 or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural homeopathic time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. Excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
As we go back in the Senate's minority report by Jesse Helms that brought out all the hidden information about POWs left behind from World War I, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, that even though the Soviets were unwilling to send our boys back, they insisted that all their people be returned and all were surrendered by the Allies to the Soviets. Many Soviet citizens did not want to return to Soviet-occupied territory. Since these citizens were captured by the Germans and recovered by Allied forces were often recovered in German work camp uniforms. They had been offered the choice of starving or entering a labor battalion, and most joined. Once repatriated to the Soviet Union, many of these Soviets were immediately imprisoned in slave labor camps. However, the Soviets sent to slave labor camps were considered lucky, since the others were often shot. As a result, Soviet citizens and soldiers in Allied control were extremely reluctant to be repatriated. The following description is an attempt by Allied soldiers to repatriate 399 former Russian soldiers by train to the Soviet Union. Quote, "Our men refused to entrain. They begged to be shot. They resisted the entrainment by taking off their clothing and refusing to leave their quarters. It was necessary to use tear gas and some force to drive them out. Tear gas forced them out of the building into the snow where those who had cut themselves fell exhausted and bleeding in the snow. Nine men hung themselves. One had stabbed himself nearly to death, and one other had stabbed himself and subsequently died. While 20 others are in the hospital for self-inflicted wounds. The entrainment was finally effected by 368 men who were sent off, accompanied by a Russian liaison officer on a train carrying American cards. Six men escaped en route. A number of men in the group claimed they were not Russian. Although Soviets were not willing to return American POWs, the U.S. government did the antithesis. Every soldier and citizen of the USSR was returned to Russia whether they wanted to go or not. Millions did not want to return to the harsh life under communism with its purges, slave labor camps, and purposely contrived famines. General Dwight D. Eisenhower was in charge of Operation Keyhole, which literally forced reluctant people from the communist bloc to go home. Not so sweet home. This proved Ike's worth to hold the reins of the U.S. presidency as he dutifully implements the insider's policy. Whenever the subject of POW MIAs rear its ugly head in the back closets of establishment media, it is accompanied by an attitude of great conviction that if ever there were any POW MIAs, no chance they're alive now. Cover up goes on. So does the slavery. We'll be right back.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group